All right. Well, welcome to Three Peas in a Pod, everybody. It's Justin Franchino coming to you live from Peninsula Grace Church. Adam Meyer coming to you live. Myers live from. Are we at Kenai Christian?
Kenai Christian Church.
Yeah,
that's where we're at.
Church, not center. Yep.
Yes.
From
the center of Kenai Christian Church.
Are you in the exact? Well, the compass would let you know.
See, right there. Tells where I'm at.
And Mr. Andrew coming from Sterling Baptist Church.
Howdy, howdy.
Now, this is your church or is this your house?
Actually, this is the church building. That's my office right here.
Wow, they let you have a foosball table in your office.
Yeah, I brought it in here. It's fun. Whenever we don't, awesome. You know, we get out of maybe a board meeting and a couple of guys don't agree, we just take it out on the foosball table. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Whoever wins is right. You know, I'm a foosballer, so if you like foosball, let me know. We'll foosball sometime.
A foosballer. Yeah, you are. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, you know, we put this pod together to encourage the local church to follow Jesus together. And so we do that as three different pastors from three different churches just coming together, serving the same Jesus. And wanted to start out, it's been a couple of months. Fellas, how's the summer been treating you? I'm sure it's just normal, like every other summer. You know, everything's been par for the course. But how's it been going in your worlds?
Go for it, Adam.
My summer has been awesome. I mean, it's been different, obviously, for the pandemic reasons, but, you know, I've had a chance to get outside more than I probably ever would, a little more free time than I'm used to, though at the same time, still, you know, a lot of responsibility, a lot of side things to get set up. But yeah, I've gone camping already. I've gone hiking a couple times. My summer has been great. And one of the cool things is, just a quick shout out, since that's I didn't ask if that's even permissible, but
we can edit it.
My dad, there you go. My dad, he's like, hey, when are you guys gonna do that podcast again? I'm like, what podcast? He's like, those three ministers that, you know. I'm like, you listen to that? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, awesome. So shout out to my dad for paying attention, and he said he loves it. So I never expected that to be part of his summertime routine, but
yeah,
he'll be excited to know we're putting another one out.
There we go.
That's great.
Shout out to Mr. Myers, and at least we know now we have one listener, so that's a place to start.
Yeah, and he, to add more confusion to your life, Justin, he would actually I call him that. In fact, I'm going to write him a letter saying, look, you've been there for my mom. You've been there for me. I would love to call you dad. And he's like, I would love for you to call me dad. But Mr. Reed, if you're going to address him appropriately.
Mr. Reed. Sorry about that, Mr. Reed. I offended our one listener.
He's gone.
We already lost him. We're back to zero. Oh, it's awesome.
Summer's been good for us, for the Miller, we call ourselves. We went camping. I think back at the very beginning of June, or end of May, we were going to go to Waikiki Beach. I don't know if you heard it. It's in Cooper Landing. And we stopped there. We stopped there one night, and there was nobody there. And we're like, oh man, we're coming back. So that was a Sunday night. That was might have been actually. I can't remember. Sunday night, East. Stopped by Waikiki Beach. I'm like, we're going to go camp there. We come back like 2 days later. There's like 100 people there. I'm like, does anybody else have work? Or what do you? So we ended up finding a spot, and we camped out there for 3 days or three nights, 2 days, 3 nights. So it was fun. The kids had a blast. But camping's a lot of effort when you have like a million kids. So, yeah. Speaking of kids, we're expecting our fifth very soon. I don't know. Yeah, thank you. So,
like could be today.
Yeah, like it could be. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
But a good summer, a great summer. So, yeah. Justin, how about you, man?
Well, I'm still confused by your math because you said you have a million kids and then you just said you're expecting your fifth. So I don't know.
A million.
One, two, three, four, a million and five.
Once you have three, it just. Yeah, it's all the same.
It's all the same.
The math's there. Don't worry.
I got you. All right. Well, the reason we missed the June pod was one of the reasons. I was out on my first anniversary trip up to Denali with Jill and I. And,
oh, yeah.
Man, had a blast.
1 year.
Almost. I'm catching up to you guys. I don't think that's how time works. So we had a great time. And actually, the road in June into the park was closed off mostly to, you know, they didn't have tour buses or anything going. So we were able to bring our bikes up and drive into mile 30 and then bike. And there were, like, other than a few construction vehicles, the road was wide open. It was just us and wildlife and the mountains. And it was amazing. But we, on the way back toward the car, we were still about 8-9 miles away from the car, and out of nowhere, it was a beautiful day, out of nowhere this hailstorm comes swooping in, and we're just getting pelted. We're like hiding, and we were above tree line, so we hid under like a large bush trying to get out of the hail, and it didn't really work. And eventually we're driving in the hail, like, it was like pain. We're like, should we go through the hail? We can't really just wait it out. Who knows how long it's going to be? And got all the way back to the car. Jill's lips are blue. We're freezing. We had to, like, get off all our wet clothes, put on dry clothes, get in the car just to try to, you know, avoid hypothermia. But it was and that was the day before our first anniversary. So we were like, okay, we almost didn't make it.
You'll never forget it. You'll never forget it.
They say awesome. The first year is the hardest. So it's oh man, it was wild. But yeah,
that's what they say.
But yeah, it's been a beautiful summer. Today our theme is, we're talking about
walking. We lost somebody.
You ever frozen up?
Uh-oh. Am I frozen?
He's got that smiley face. He's got them teeth, man.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Talked about his first anniversary and he just can't stop grinning. There he is. He's
back. Hey, we were making fun of you while you were frozen. So
yeah, I could actually hear you still. So, I don't know.
Curly whites.
It does appear my internet is a little spotty.
Put a note in here.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if how this is going to come out in the recording, but it seems like it's a little choppy. But we'll just go with it. We'll see how it goes. Today's theme, we're talking about walking with God. You know, I think that a lot of us, pastors and, you know, church folk alike, we often can be better at talking about God than actually talking with God, and walking with him. And you know, I was thinking about, just like you, you think about your spouse, you know, a year in, I'm learning. There's a difference in talking about my spouse and talking with my spouse, right? Actually having a relationship with her. I could write books about her. I could tell other people about her, but am I actually engaged in a relationship with her? Those are two different things, come to find out. We have been created for and then redeemed for a relationship with God. But the question is, what does that look like? What does that actually mean to have relation with him? Especially some of the dynamics of God as a spirit. You know, what does that looks a little bit different than what it would with another human. And so we just want to talk a little bit today, some of that in our own lives. And so we each got a question. It's kind of been how we've been framing things. And first question, I'll throw it over to Adam.
Yeah, so my question is, who or what has influenced your walk with God? Is there someone in your life that's been that person that you kind of go, man, I really want to emulate that or replicate that? Someone that is kind of inspired, you look at their walk and go, man, that's what I need, has helped your walk with God.
Justin, do you want me to start?
I do.
Okay. So a couple of people, I'll say number one, actually my wife, Christy, she is just incredible. And we'll talk later about the practices or the exercises that, you know, each of us has in our life, and she's got hers, but just seeing her walk with her God is really encouraging to me, as her husband and as a Christian. So I didn't see my wife, Christy. And it's, you know, it comes out in even how she interacts with the kids. She's very gracious and merciful. She would tell you she's not, whatever, but you know, she's a great mom. She's very long suffering, and it just comes out. She has different patterns of personal worship than I do. You know, one thing that she tends to do is she kind of gets up pretty early and, and she just kind of gets in her word and in the word, and she journals and that kind of thing. She's got a bullet journal, and she journals her time in the word. And so that she's been an impact on me. And I'd say another person in the church here, is a man named Daryl Kincaid. He and his wife, their children are all grown, but he's just a very godly man. And he is very practical when it comes to walking with God. He knows the word, but like just hearing him talk about the scripture and talk about his God, it's obvious. And I'm not the only person that sees it. I mean, this guy, you know, and I'll say this if he listens to it, you know, he'll just tell you he's just a plumber. He puts boilers in people's houses. Right? He says he's the God of fire. Right? He can make fire with boilers. But he's just a very godly man. And many of the younger men in our church see that and look up to him. And so I'd say my wife, Christy, and Daryl Kincaid, two of those two people, different generations, different demographics, different seasons of life. And yet both of them have impacted me for the better.
Mm. Yeah. I'm going to have to check on Andrew's theology. I don't know about this God of fire, but we'll have to see. You know, I was thinking about a lot of people in my life. And I think probably the common denominator, of course, is that you see it lived out in their attitude and their actions. That's a lot of the point. One guy that stood out to me, and when I was in Bible school, one of my teachers, his name was Mike. And it's funny because he wasn't the most eloquent speaker that we had. He looked like a combination of T-Rex from Toy Story and then Tweedledee or Tweedledum, either one. And he was this very unique looking guy. He talked like he had his elbows stapled to his chest, and he just kind of, but,
yeah, Rex.
Yeah, exactly. So both in speech and in demeanor, you know, man, not the catalog model, but this guy was a man who knew Jesus and who walked with his God, and it just oozed out of his pores. And I remember, I mean, one of the things he would talk about is when he would wake up in the morning to spend time with his God, like he would imagine in his special place down in his easy chair, he imagined sitting next to him down there if there was an old friend that had come to visit and wanted to see him. He said, you know, how would I react if I knew this old friend was down there? You know, I wouldn't be like, oh, I got to go. I mean, I guess if it was early enough in the morning, even an old friend, we might be like, whatever. But, you know, he said, man, there would be an excitement. There would be an anticipation of wanting to come and spend time with him. And that's how he visualized his time with his God, like, you know, the best friend that he had. And not only did he say that when he taught, but you saw that in his walk. And that was huge to me. But also, you know, that's been a personal relationship, but also been so affected by many writers or authors over my life. Of course, the Apostle Paul would be a great biblical one, where just, you know, to die is gain. It's better to be with the Lord. And you saw that in his heart. But a couple of, you know, people are interested in reading, Eugene Peterson, I've mentioned him before. Anybody, a man who's taught me about being still in the presence of God. He has a lot of great books that he's written, but one of them would be The Contemplative or The Contemplative Pastor. I think I had mentioned that one before. Another book that was really formative for me was, it's a classic one, but it's called Celebration of Discipline. It's by Richard Foster. And I'll talk a little bit more of some of the practices from that book later, but Richard is, he talks about some of the specific ways that we can cultivate that relationship with God. Classic is Brother Lawrence, practicing the presence of God. If you want to read an old one with lots of these and thous. Of course, a lot of people know A.W. Tozer, Knowledge of the Holy, is an amazing one. But then lastly, if you're a poet or someone who loves poetry, George Herbert. It's an old man of the faith, old brother who just has some beautiful language in the way he talks about his God, and is somebody that his poetry has really been one that has kind of sparked my imagination when it comes to God. So those are a few authors I'd recommend for people out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think for me, Robert Duvall, who started the church here at Kenai Christian Church, he's just one of those guys that he seems like his ability to walk with God and his knowledge and the character he displays in the community, how he's respected. it seems unattainable. And so you keep trying to aim for that. And it's nothing like, you know, because I've been in ministry now, I've been with him now for like 17 years, observing him and part of the time just like right next to him, I'm literally building a house with him. So I keep waiting for these like this huge revelation of this is the secret, you know. And really what he did is that he just walks every day with God. And it just, like you said it before, it oozes out of him. It's part of, like, you get next to him and you know you're with something special. And you know, he's helped me through some different things, and I think we'll talk to some of those later. But for sure, I mean, his impact in my life has been huge, and I can't thank him enough for the foundation he's laid, not only of the church here, you know. And I get to just jump into this and live in its completeness, you know. He literally building the walls and laying the foundation here, at the same time sticking with God and going through trials and just persevering. But also, yeah, I think when it comes to authors, like one of my favorites is listening both to him in podcasts, but also his writings is Ravi Zacharias. And, you know, I look at both of those men and go, how do they know so much? You know, how can they possibly have, like, either I'm the most terrible student and I can't retain this stuff, or they just have this connection with God that I'm somehow not attaining to. Like, but I've always been inspired by how Ravi Zacharias can just be bold in his faith and walk into a place like a secular university and have an open mic session, you know, ask me any question you want about God. I'm like, that's the kind of man of God that I want to be. You know, I don't want to have to be afraid and have to take the softball questions. I want to take the ones that are going to be really difficult to answer and come away with a love for the person who've asked it, no matter how they've approached that question too. So those are two people in my life that I considered helping my walk with God and challenging me to walk in my walk with God.
And what a reminder that we are, you know, in our own lives as leaders or as followers of Jesus, people are listening to words, but more importantly, they're watching our lives. And, you know, so does my life reflect one that knows his God and is known by his God? And you can't really fake that part of it.
Right. That's right.
And also really realizing I should have went for some brownie points like Andrew and mentioned my wife first and foremost as an example. So,
well, I mean, you're only a year in. I got like,
I was going to say, this is, so. I'm learning. This is good. I'm taking notes, real notes over here. So our second question, kind of moving from influences to actually our own lives and the practices, I had posed the question, what are some of our own, some personal practices that we put into place in order to help grow or facilitate that real intimacy in an actual relationship with God? And Andrew, we'll start with you.
Okay. So when I got your text last week, I'll be honest, I think it's easy, and I hope you agree with me, I hope I'm not alone in this, it's easy sometimes to be a mile wide and an inch deep, even spiritually as a pastor, because there is such a focus of tending the flock and caring for others and serving others. And one of the things that I've read a lot, if you're going to throw around some authors here, Carrie Newhoff, a pastor in Canada, has been very influential in my own life. And just reading some of his articles and a constant emphasis for pastors to care for themselves spiritually. To use the analogy where you're sitting on an airplane and you lose cabin pressure and the masks drop. Now, thankfully, I've never had to deal with that. But they tell you to put yours on first and then you help the people around you. And I've heard that used before. And I think that's a fair illustration. And so when I got the text and I got the topic, I'm not going to lie, I was actually sweating a little bit because I'm like, man, I'm looking at my own life and it was really helpful. And I go, do I have practices? Like, in the moment, I couldn't be like, yeah, that. The question forced me to really look at things. And so spending a few days thinking about it, I was able to find some things that kind of came to the surface, but I didn't really. Now I do recognize them as those concrete patterns or exercises or disciplines or practices. But before I'd gotten your text and knew what the topic was going to be, it really I didn't recognize them as that. So I needed to take some time to say, okay, no, that is a practice, and this is a practice, and this is a practice. And so for me, this is the conventional one. And this will be, well, when we talk about the seasons, I'll nuance this later, but obviously kind of getting up with kids, like a million kids or four or four and a half, getting up before them. And just, I like the audio Bible. I prefer audio Bible and to listen to that. And of course my coffee, and that's helpful just for me to be in the word for me, not using what I am teaching through with the church, not using that as what I'm feeding my soul on, but actually I'm in the word for Andrew, not as Pastor Andrew, but as Andrew Miller. But a couple of things that when I started to look at my life, and I could say, okay, well, a couple of habits. One of them actually for me is just the practice of music that helps keep my relationship warm with God. And I'm not just talking about any kind of music. There's Christian artists out there, Christian music. I have my own playlist on Spotify that I just, from time to time, I have to put on and while I'm driving or whatever, I'm in the shower or whatever. And that warms my heart to God. For me, music is something that moves me. And so that's very helpful for me to, the other thing that I do with music is I play the guitar, or I try to play the guitar. And so for me, just to grab my guitar in the evening sometime and go out and sit on my deck. And we were part of a church plant down in South Carolina for a few years. I actually led song worship down there. And so I have a lot of songs memorized, and I'll just sit there and I'll just play my guitar. And that's really helpful. And I know that might sound unconventional, but I mean, David worshiped his God that way. You know, it's not always just sitting down and reading your Bible or even
Do you pretend praying. Like you're going insane when you do it? Like
foaming at the mouth. Yeah. But that is a habit for me. And that's just what I do. My wife, you know, she has different practices. She doesn't sit down and play the guitar. I do that. Mm. And that helps me. Just a personal form of worship. And another way, and this is unconventional too, I think another, I don't know if it's a practice. I mean, I guess you could call it a practice, but something that is a value in my life, that after I participate in this thing, I walk away energized and feeling very moved. And again, my relationship with God is warmed through this, is just actual close, meaningful friendships with other Christian siblings. I get a lot of energy. I don't want to say, I say spiritual energy, and I freak you out. And then you're thinking, you know, transcendentalism or something.
Here comes the God of fire.
But I get a lot of energy from being with other Christian siblings, even like this kind of thing, or the pastor's lunch, or getting together with guys one-on-one, or you know, our men's group on Thursday mornings that I do. That walking away from that and just being able to have conversations and having deep conversations, when I walk away from that, I find my heart open to God, and I'm like, God, thank you for this, because like you said, God is a spirit. Yeah. So to be with people who have the spirit of God and who genuinely love God, that warms my heart toward God. And there's then that response, that moment of worship. Again, that might sound unconventional, because it's not like I'm telling you, yeah, I get up at 3 a.m. and I pray for 2 hours and then I read my Bible for 3 more hours. I mean, and I'm not saying that that's a bad practice, but those are things that help me in my God, because it makes things personal for me and God. So music and close friendships with Christian brothers, and even guys that may not be Christians but are kind of along for the ride. They're coming and they're interested in following Christ, and just having those mutual those relationships that are being reciprocated and arrows going both directions, mm-hmm. those kinds of relationships energize me and warm my heart towards God. So,
yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I get up every morning and I pray for 2 hours. And then right after that, I read my Bible for about three.
Wow.
But,
wow. Right there, the center of the church.
No, that is not true. Don't do that. No, you know, I think for me, again, kind of like what Andrew's saying, one of the first things, it reminds me of Bible college too, sometimes your scripture can quickly become a textbook as you're preparing for the next sermon, as you're studying for the next lesson. And I say that with respect to, I don't view it that way, but sometimes you can just get into that. And I've never really counted that for me personally as my personal growth with God. Because I can't rely upon that. You know, sometimes I'm trying to get a message out that, you know, it pertains to everyone, but it's not addressing a need I have right now for me specifically, because I know there's other needs in my own life, you know. So some of the things that I've been trying to do and be consistent with is, you know, I'm looking for I call them like David's mighty men. And so I'm looking like for five guys in my life that I can just go to, and they get the whole story. They don't get, you know, a piece of the story or an embellished part of the story or polished into the story. They get the raw story. And those guys in my life, and I don't have five yet. I'm actually still kind of working on that, but I'm close. But those are the guys I go to. If it's a celebration, hey, man, here's what's going on in my life. They want to hear it. And they're cheering me on. They're encouraging me. And I for them also. But when things are rough, I just say, man, this is what I'm struggling with. You know, here's my frustrations. Here's why I can't sleep at night. And I know that conversation is safe with them, because they're not going to, one, run out to social media and like, you want to believe what our minister is doing over there at KCC. You know, they're going to just say, man, I got your back, and I will walk through wherever you want to go. I'll walk through that valley with you, and I'll encourage you along the way. You know, and they don't always offer advice. Sometimes they just simply listen. But if they need to call me out on the carpet, I listen and I respect their iron sharpens iron. I respect the truth they speak into my life. Because just because I'm in ministry doesn't mean I'm exempt from having to be called out on the carpet from time to time. Mm-hmm. So that for me has been huge, because it keeps me real, one, in my walk, but also real with God. I mean, I might have myself fooled sometimes. So if someone else is telling me, look, I noticed this in your life, I trust that is God speaking to me through them, because that's the kind of relationship that we've built. And probably the most, probably one of the most effective things I've done is try to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, a lot of times we really kind of, I don't know, we make the Holy Spirit into something that maybe he isn't. But for me personally, I know when God is speaking to me through his Holy Spirit. I mean, because the Holy Spirit is living in us, and we can either tune him out or be on frequency with him. And I've been trying to risk more of those promptings we get, like, hey, pray for that person over there. Hey, go over there and buy the guy a cup of coffee or whatever it is. I mean, thankfully it hasn't been anything weird, as we would say, lately. But there have been times, and it's always connecting to someone else, typically that I don't know. And most of the time it has to do, look, that person needs prayer. We ask them what they need prayer for. And I have a choice in that moment. I can just say, yeah, not today, you know. And I'll miss a great opportunity, a good God moment. But every time I've done that and I've listened and I haven't ignored it, I am blown away at what God is setting up in that person's life. And what I mean is, I'm not looking for that person to become a member at Kenai Christian Church. I'm looking at that person connecting with God, with wherever they're at. I want them to know that they're made in the image of God, that they have value. And it has blown me away how complete strangers have just like almost word vomited on me just for me asking, hey, can I pray for you today? I don't know why. I just feel like I need to pray for you. And they just open up, and it's a beautiful thing. And again, it's not for anyone listening to this, it's not like it's real easy, but the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And I'm just trying to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. And even before I read scripture now, you know, for myself personally, and even when I'm studying for a sermon or teaching, I'm always praying, you know, God, I've read this text 100 times, 150 times, you know, please speak to me, you know, use your Holy Spirit to help me see something here that I've been missing out on. I mean, what is it that I need to be grabbing out of this right now? And again, I mean, God's word is living and active. It's not dead words on a page. So I always connect more with God, more intimately with God, when I'm involving him in the process. And then one more practical, just simple one is, sometimes I just turn everything off. I'm like Andrew, I love music. Music is so influential in my life. But there's a 15-minute commute I have, so 30 minutes a day. And sometimes I just turn it all off. And I had that moment in the truck. And sometimes I'm praying. Sometimes I'm just talking, maybe to myself. But I think I'm talking with God, you know, just saying, hey, man, here's what's on my heart. And sometimes I'm just sitting silently. Mm-hmm. And it's so helpful, because if you think about all the media we're constantly consuming, either voluntarily or involuntarily, we don't have moments of silence anymore. And that's been very helpful to me.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. That's why I love, you know, being together, asking these questions and just hearing some very helpful, you both approached even that question differently than I did, but that's why, you know, if we had three exact same answers, you know, we'd only need one of us. But, and, you know, to not even push back, but just to, you know, I've also found, because you're right, sometimes you can get into, when you're thinking about your own study, you can slip into sermon mode, but I've also on the other side of it found it's actually really helpful for me to digest whatever, because obviously we're looking at application in other people's lives, but also our own. And, you know, I had heard one pastor challenge, I mean, we don't need so much of an awesome 4-point sermon as we do need to come out of a devotional place in our own lives. That's how people are supposed to process it, right? Is they're hearing the word of God. Like, what is it? How does this change my life and my view of him? And so really it's been helpful for me, like the week prior, to sit on that text and just say, God, what are you saying to me in this? And then as I go to prepare and share, I can do the exegesis, I can do all the studying and the background stuff, but I want to speak to my people like a normal person who's been impacted by this scripture himself, you know. And that's been helpful, because I've heard both sides of that, and I think it's going to play out differently for everybody. But you know, as I was thinking about this too, I was thinking especially in terms of my alone time with my God, what does this look like? And one very simple thing as far as practices that have helped me grow that intimacy, number one, has actually been confession of sin. There can be a huge barrier between my God and myself. And there were a couple of sins in particular in my life that were really barriers between me and God. And I think I was unknowingly hiding from him. I didn't want to come and put all the cards on the table because I was afraid of what he would say. And I knew he knew about those things. But until I was really able to confess those and start walking in victory in those, I don't think it's coincidental that these last 3 or 4 years of my life have been the sweetest intimate walk with my God, corresponding with that freedom from those sins, and also just simply praying for that desire. You know, we often don't even really want to spend time with him, so it's, Lord, change my heart that it would be one that desires you. But our family pastor Ross, he was talking about when he was candidating, talking about his relationship with his spouse, and it was interesting. He said there is with his wife, he said there's no substitute. We often substitute quantity for quality when it comes to time, and of course quality matters as well, you know, but, you know, we wouldn't say, hey, honey, we're going to spend 5 really good minutes together this month. And then, you know, I probably, again, learning things my first year of marriage, but I think same with our God, you know, it's not just how good was it? But I think there is something to be said for time and space. And I remember in a youth group, our youth pastor had us do, we called it TOG, time alone with God. And he had us go out for an hour in the woods with God, just our Bible. You know, there wasn't an iPhone yet to distract you anyway, but I remember as a teenager going an hour by myself, like in quiet in the, like, that just blew my mind. But I'll tell you what, it was one of the most transforming hours of my life as I sat there quiet, like Adam mentioned earlier, just being still, that we do not a very good job at. And man, like just to listen, to be quiet and to be with God was that sparked something in me in that hour that's really carried out. And something I've been attempting to do more and more proactively. Earlier in May, I took a day and it was a work day, and I just went out into the woods and I'm going to go hiking and I am going to take my Bible and it's just me and God. And I spent about 10 hours that day just with him, and man, a beautiful time. Now there's a lot of time when you're just kind of sitting there. It's not like every moment is just this like sweet, you know, angels are kissing your ears and, you know, just this awesome, like there's also times when you're just kind of spinning your wheels, you know, and just kind of staring off and, you know, time when that silence can be really hard or just feel like it's kind of dry. So it's, but I think it's giving that space for God to work. But then it was like, okay, so I create that space. What does it look like? What do I do? Because I think for me, and I think a lot of Westerners, we're really good at studying the Bible, you know, and that's a must, obviously. I like Jen Wilkins says, the heart cannot love what the mind does not know. And so we cannot, if we don't know, and the Bible informs our view of who God is. And if it doesn't, then we could be worshiping a false God. So certainly we need to, the mind needs to know who the real God is based on who he's revealed himself to be. But we also, the heart, the reason we know him like that is so that our heart can love him. And moving from that, just being talking about God, to actually talking to God. And man, one of the simplest practices in my life has been that, just being still and finding a quiet place, being in the woods or a secret spot, you know, where it's solitude, it's just you and the Lord. And then for me, especially as a talker, if anybody's picked that up on this podcast, be quiet. Don't talk, just listen. And, you know, there's been, sometimes I'll just take a walk in my neighborhood for an hour and just say, I'm not going to say anything. But I want to walk. It's, you know, Eastern meditation says empty your mind, whereas I think biblical meditation says let him fill it. And so as I'm walking that road, I'm literally just like, I'm like just considering it. God is here right now. He's aware of me. He has created this thing I'm looking at here. He loves me. And, or, you know, maybe I'll take an attribute of God, like God is love or God is mercy. God is holy, and just kind of spin that in my mind. But what's important is, again, not just like this is true about God, but God, you're here, you're listening to me, you're here with me. What does it mean that you are using that second person language? Is I'm actually talking to him, I'm listening to him, has been really helpful. And then I think after that listening, then I can respond and talk to him. And I think, my God, I've learned, like he wants us to spill it all, our anger, our fear, our doubt, our joy. Praying through the Psalms has been helpful for me, but just to be able to unload on him. I think a lot of times we're scared if we don't say something right, or we don't say that, you know, God knows our heart anyway. So like, let him have it. If how you're feeling is how you're feeling, and you take that before him and deal with it with him. Just like any other trusting relationship, your spouse, your friend wants to know where you're actually at. So that's helpful for me. And one tool that I've found in the last year that was really helpful, it's called Lectio Divina. I don't know if you've heard of this. Lectio Divina, it's Latin for divine reading, basically. And it's a cool tool that just kind of walks you through these series of questions. So you'll take like a word or phrase of scripture, and then it teaches you, there's the four R's, because we're good pastors: read, reflect, rest, and respond. So we just read the passage, take that word, reflect on it, and it has some questions of what, you know, what emotions did that conjure up as you're thinking about that? Or what did, you know, what came to mind about God and your relationship with him? And then to just simply rest in him and then respond in light of what I've sat here with you and contemplated your word together. What are you calling me into? And so different than like Bible study. And you of course need the right, again, the right study of the Bible, because this doesn't become some kind of esoteric, like, what do you feel about this? Like, it's based on God's word. But what Lectio Divina has helped me do is I have God's word and I'm thinking about it in his presence. Like, you know, what does this do with my relationship with you? And it's helped me like direct my thoughts toward God as a person, not just the Bible where it's like God encyclopedia. And it's been a big difference maker. It's been kind of helpful for me. Yeah. So a couple practices that I found helpful.
That's good.
Yeah. And our last question coming from Dad to the Fifth Power.
Yeah. Soon. Who knows?
Soon.
So I haven't gotten any text yet. So, well, actually I did. Oh, never
mind. Can you text on that phone? I didn't know if it had that technology.
Yeah. You can actually text on this. It starts to smoke though.
Right.
It sends. Shakes. Yeah. You know, so being a dad and, you know, Justin is a year into marriage. Adam, how many kids do you guys have?
We have two kids.
Okay. How old are your kids?
Boys. 10 and 8.
Okay. So My oldest is 9. So you guys are out of the toddler years. So we got 9, almost 7, 5, 3, and soon to be born. Okay. So even though we're contemporaries, there's still, our lives are still in different places because of that. So for me, it made sense. The question then that came to my mind was, how do the practices that you guys are talking about change in different seasons of life? And even the fact that we all don't even have the same practices. Mm-hmm. I mean, that'd be pretty boring if we did, right? Mm-hmm. So how, I mean, we live in Alaska. Life's different in the summer than it is in the winter. Is it not? Right? So do any of your practices change with the change of the actual seasons, or there's a busy season in your life, or you're in a position where you really need to make your family more of a priority because the church has taken up a lot of time and you've recognized that, and maybe it was important and now there's a shift. Maybe your health changes. I don't know. How do the different seasons in your life impact the practices that you put in place to walk with God?
Well, I just talked for a while, so Adam, go for it.
Yeah. You know, when I read that question initially, there's a couple places I went in my mind, and I'm glad you brought up the different stages that we could all be in. But for me, I initially went to a season where it's difficult. You know, we have to acknowledge that as much as we're pouring our hearts out to God and how much we're trying to connect with God, there's a very real enemy also who wants nothing more than to literally destroy us in particular. Anyone who's in a leadership position who's leading the charge for God is going to be under attack from Satan and his adversaries. I mean, that's just a reality. And we can choose to ignore that and go, well, just that's Bible talk. Well, that's a reality. There's a spiritual warfare happening, and it wants to take us down. You know, and I think a lot about, Andrew, you mentioned a lot about fathers being leading the family and men being heads of the church, having great leadership roles. And obviously Satan knows that. That's an effective strategy for both the family and both for the church family. And so, of course, we've got like the double bullseye on our back. And so what I realized for me is when I'm going through a very difficult time, whether it's a confrontation I've had with someone that's come out of nowhere, I mean, typically those things, sometimes you can see them coming, and that's, even those are difficult. But sometimes you get this blindsided, you know, just pound, here you go, and you're cooking along with your season of connected with this God, and this just hits you like a left-hand hook that you didn't see coming. And sometimes I find myself picking myself up on the floor going, man, where did that come from? And the first thing I always do is go, look, I'm not going to get fixated on the person or whoever was the delivery person of that information. Even if it's their feelings, even if it's their belief or whatever it is, I'm going to get focused on, where did that actually come from? If this is meant to tear me down or make me feel like quitting. I mean, I think a lot of times, you know, we talk about fight or flight. And a lot of times flight sounds like a really good option because you feel like you're getting out of the way of this problem. It's going to help you. It's going to help your family in the long run. But in ministry, I hope most of us are fighters because there's a lot of victory to be won still. But these seasons of difficulty come first by acknowledging that we have, there's a spiritual battle for not just our soul or our identity, but for everyone who's looking at us. You know, I don't want anyone to think to have built me up and put me on this pedestal, but in reality, many do. And that's not something I want or hope for. That's just what we have to acknowledge, that people do that, you know, and why it's important to teach that their faith shouldn't be grounded in me because I'm just a guy. And so making sure people can make those connecting points of, you need to walk right with God. So if I fall or my perception of who you think I am is blown, that you don't walk away from God. So in that kind of season, but also one thing, it's been interesting having conversations with people post COVID, just kind of making a side note here on a different season. I've had a lot of conversations with people, and the funny thing is, it's just one of those passing in the grocery store sort of things, or you met a, not at the 4th of July parade, but somewhere else. And
too soon.
sorry. But and it's been interesting to me. There's been a great victory that's been won that people have said to me, man, I have rediscovered the importance of family and family time. And what they followed that up with was, you know, I'm not sure, and it goes, I'm kind of blending up multiple conversations together right now, but in general, here's what's been told me. You know, I'm not sure whenever things get back to full-blown church again, when we have all these different programming things happening, but, you know, even when that happens, I'll probably gravitate more towards my family time than I have before. And, you know, and I just tell them, like, man, praise the Lord that you've rediscovered the dinner table. How many people have just taken advantage of this piece of furniture that's set there unused for years? And now we're getting back to this, you know, family time, this family intimacy. And I don't want to discourage people from doing that. I also don't want to discourage them to throw the baby out with the bathwater either. You know, stay connected, stay plugged in. But, you know, you are the primary spiritual influence in your family's life. So be that and don't feel guilty about that. So I got to learn how to adjust as a leader in that role too. Like I can't just go, well, that's just hogwash. You know, when we're back, I better see here every single time and you better be serving every single time. It ain't going to happen. It's just, that's gone.
Yep. Yep.
That's good.
Yeah. We are in a different situation. And that might be a good podcast topic down the road.
Yep. A whole new world. Nice. We could do a musical. We could do a musical. That'd be fun. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that. I've always thought with people with children, parents, I think they're also called, that they, man, just a different set of, like when I was in Bible school and I knew what it was like as a single guy to go through Bible school. I was like, we had, you know, a couple that had five kids doing the same work that I was, you know, and the same requirements. And I was like, so I always like want to have a humble approach, especially in these kind of areas where I mean, I've learned now, you know, a year into marriage, the differences with schedules and, you know, your alone time, of course it looks different, and there's less of it, but, you know, and there was a sweet period about a year or two before, Jill and I got married where I had cultivated some practices, had some just, you know, pretty consistent time alone with the Lord in the morning, which is still by and large available, but I've gotten a couple meetings that are every morning now, which are good with other brothers, the elders of our church and discipleship group, good things. But, you know, your time starts to get chewed up in different spots and it does get difficult. And not only time-wise, but also, kind of like Adam was referring to, I mean, there's times when we just don't feel it, you know, like the time might even be there, but I'm just like, I don't know. Or you walked away and it just kind of felt empty. I mean, I think even as pastors, we can say, man, there's just real dry seasons, you know, where, and so we know that. So whether it's time or whether it's just where we're at in our own headspace, you know, I think we have to be intentional with all of our time. And what was helpful for me, I think I was always nervous about legalism when it came to some of these kind of practices of, I don't want to do it just to check the box to make God happy with me. Because I'd walked that, especially as a teenager. I want to read my five chapters of the Bible and do this and that so that, you know, because that's what a good Christian's supposed to do. But there's a difference between legalism and disciplines. And I think that there are disciplines in our life that we need to instill, especially for those dry seasons when we don't feel like doing it, that we get up, and not because God will smite us if we don't, but, you know, somebody helped me. It's like the analogy would be like, we are cultivating the soil that God's going to give the growth in. And so these disciplines are helping cultivate that soil. We're not growing ourselves, but as we do it, even if the farmer doesn't feel like, you know, hoeing today, he does it because he knows the harvest is coming. And so I think for me, that's been helpful. This doesn't have to be legalism. Now it can. I got to guard my heart against that, but we do. And so I think we need to prioritize and schedule. And, you know, who was it that said, you know, I got a really hard day today. I need to get up and pray 3 hours earlier. I think, Adam, you mentioned that, you know, before. I mean, we actually, I mean, if the best way we can love other people is by loving our God. And so if we just say, well, I've got to do all these other things, and we just push time with the Lord to the back burner, man, I think we're going to get into some trouble. But we also know there's grace and there are seasons in our lives. You know, in our small group, a couple just recently had their first kid, and the mom was just like, I'm just trying to survive. Like, I just, you know, I'm just trying to sleep. I am, you know, like, it's just a really hard season where she's like, I'm trying to spend time with the Lord, but man, it's been hard. And she's like, I've found there are just little pockets of time where I can turn on my audio Bible and listen for 5 minutes. And what a sweet gift that's been to have 5 minutes with God today. You know, that we recognize there are going to be crazy seasons or hard seasons in our life, and to not, God is not a God who is sitting up there, you know, waiting to get us. He's a God that wants to pursue us in love. And so he knows, I mean, just like with my wife, right? Like, I know this is a hard issue. It's not just punching the clock. And so we have to be in charge of our calendar and prioritize these relationships. But we also know that crazy weeks happen, you know, and to not feel the guilt and condemnation. Now, maybe there needs to be conviction there. Something needs to change. But, you know, to not say, well, I didn't get an hour in every single day this week, you know, man, God's going to be so mad at me. But just coming back. And one piece of advice I would give is, and I've heard it said before, make $2 investments. You know, it's, you know, you can make, you know, if I spend a couple bucks on a cup of coffee, that's not that much money. But if I do that daily over time, it looks like a lot. And so to start small, that maybe somebody today, it's like, I'm just going to try one of these things that you guys have talked about. Maybe it's just I'm going to practice 5 minutes of silence, or I'm going to try, you know, starting small, and then slowly over time, if you add those small practices, those small disciplines together over a long period of time, you can really look back and see growth. So start with one thing. It's not just, you know, put on the super Christian cape and you're ready to go out of the gates.
That's good advice. I think the reason why I asked the question in particular, a couple things. First of all, I do think that and everyone's different, but I do think that practices can and should change as life changes. I mean, I'm even thinking about my wife and I. We're getting ready to have our fifth kid. Well, we still want to have that relationship, Christy and I. But we also know that for the next year, things are going to be crazy. So what we do right now is not what we can do whenever this baby comes. Mm-hmm. Some of it maybe, some of it no. So the goal is intimacy with God. The goal is intimacy with your spouse. But how we do that might change. And the reason why I ask the question is because I don't want to get caught up in looking at Justin and how Justin does things, or Adam and how Adam does things, and go, oh man, I really got to do it that way, because my life is not Justin's life. My life is not Adam's life. And it's, you know, growing up, it was easy for me to do that. And I looked at these other people, and the truth is there are things that Justin in particular talked about today that we should be doing. And confessing sin, like we should be confessing sin, bottom line. Adam mentioned, and Justin mentioned, that we should be praying, not the first prayer that we pray shouldn't be, God, help me to obey. It's God, help me to want to obey. Like, those are things that I don't care what season you're in. Like, those are things that we should be doing. Mm-hmm. But I also know in the wintertime, just being honest, in the wintertime, it's easier for me to get up before my kids are up, because the sun never goes down in Alaska. Okay. Right, so your kids are up at like 6 o'clock. All right. So, and we're up late. In the wintertime, things are different. And so because of that, I know I can plan on spending much more time in the Word itself than I am in the summertime. Mm-hmm. I just know that. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. And I don't want people to look at my life and go, well, I need to do what Andrew does because he's Pastor Andrew. No, because I'm doing what's important is making sure that there's intimacy with God. And the practices that you put in place are the practices that, even at the same time, that there are certain practices that should always be existent. And I think that that's the right kind of prayer. the desire, which reading your Bible. I mean, you got it. I mean, because I'm just going to love what you said. Was it that the heart loves what the mind knows? Is that what you said?
Yeah, the heart cannot love what the mind does not know.
Okay, so I said it the same way.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This was helpful for me. This was really helpful for me to talk through this. I don't think I've ever really had this kind of a conversation before with a.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's definitely one of those things where, like I said earlier, iron sharpens iron, and it's good to hear the perspectives from people who are actually doing similar things in life, you know. And I heard this from I want to say it was Andy Stanley. Forever, a yes now is not a yes forever. Mm. And sometimes I feel like when I'm saying no, that means that's the death toll on that, or death knell on that person or that opportunity. It's like, well, I can't do it now because of I have a newborn baby, or I promised my wife that night of the week, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, I can say no confidently. I can't do that right now. But later down the road, it might be a yes. So be patient with me. But yeah,
that's good.
Decisions for you and your walk with God, your family and your church family.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Well, think about it too this way, just throw one more thing in there. If we don't ever adjust at all, and life changes all the time, and yet we don't think to adjust our practices, and then we can't get that practice in or something happens, it's very then to experience a false sense of guilt. It is because I didn't get this in today. And so I think that's another important piece there. But I also agree with you, Justin. I've heard people say, well, if I don't feel like reading my Bible, I'm not going to, because it's hypocrisy. Like, well, you know what you should do is read your Bible. And as you read, pray that God would help you to want to read his Bible.
Exactly.
Like right. There should be like, we obey even when we don't want to obey, but as we obey when we don't want to obey, we pray, God, help me to want to obey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We need to eat every day. We're not just like, well, you know, today I don't really feel like food. You know we need it for nourishment, you know, and this is the best thing for us. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, you know, that's a great point you make. You think about this real quick. When you're talking about seasons of life, when something or some depression to eat. Because one of the first things you do when you're that grief stricken is go, I just need to be alone, throwing food at them. Mm-hmm. Well, they need food. It stinks right now. I was like, that's great. Well, stay connected, you know, stay plugged into the Word, stay plugged into your prayer life, stay plugged into the Holy Spirit. And don't give up on those things, even when it doesn't feel like it. It's important because we got to have those things. And I agree. The idea of the carrying that guilt when we miss it. I love that point that you just made on that. That's excellent.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's good. Encourage me. And I know I've had some spotty internet here today. So if people are listening, sorry if there's been some in and outs, but we'll hopefully be live together soon. We wanted to land the plane. It's a summer. We got if there's ever been a summer to enjoy our time in Alaska, be tourists in our own backyard. We don't have any other tourists to contend with. We want to get out there and enjoy it. So what's one place that people need to go to in Alaska this summer?
Go for it, Adam.
I just took a trip to this last weekend, and that's off Ski Lake Lake Loop. If you've not done the Kenai River Trail, you can do the whole thing. Technically, you can't right now. I walked past the sign that says, do not go past this point. That it made me that I was on a what blows my mind is if you've ever done that intro before, it doesn't look the same. So it almost
Oh no.
I actually grew up here in Alaska. She grew up in Nanilchik. And we like kids, they love to go there. It's the Nanilchik Beach. So you head down to Nanilchik, take a ride on Mission Street and drive to the Russian village and hit the beach there. Of course, we give a shout out to, was it Keen Cow Thai restaurant down there in Nanilchik? Awesome place to grab lunch. We take peanut butter and jellies for the kids and Chris to get the takeout Thai. But we go down, we play on the beach. They love the beach. And then before you get to the beach, when you're driving towards the beach, here on the left and right, you have those like big bluffs that kind of go way up. These big dirt hills. Our kids love to climb up those things and slide. I mean, that's really why they want to go. So we always have to take an extra pair of clothes because we go to the beach. They're only there for like, 30 minutes throwing rocks, skipping rocks off each other's head. They cannot aim and save their life. And then we get loaded up in the van. We didn't even pull just up the road there and park right there. And they climb up and down. And they run down, run across the street, run up the other bluff, back down, back and forth, just dirt all up in their pants and their underwear. But they love it. I mean, I'm just sitting there like, I don't really feel like getting dirty. But they love it. So take your family to the Nanilchik Beach. Let the kids run around and get you some Thai food. Get you some coffee at the Buzz Cafe. They got a little coffee shop down there. So Nanilchik's a really cool place, Nanilchik Beach.
So would you recommend eating a bunch of Thai food and then running up and down those dirt hills?
Oh, man. I don't think so.
Does order matter in that, exercise? Okay. Excellent.
Thai food, coffee, hills.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
That's how you do it.
Combo.
That's right.
Emergency room.
Yes. Yeah. That would be the grand finale on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went, Jill and I went earlier this year. Now I've got some new hips and I can go a little bit farther. Lost Lake over in Seward. You can either go mile 17 or mile 5 of the Seward, just to maybe 5 or 17 miles away from Seward itself. There's the Primrose Trail or the Lost Lake Trail. And either side, you hike for about 5 miles in the woods and then it's 2.5 miles into Lost Lake, and it's just the most gorgeous. This is this deep valley with little lakes and mountains all around you. One of the prettiest spots I've ever been to on the peninsula. That's a bit of more of a hike, but it was a blast. A little bit easier one we did yesterday. We went to Juneau Falls, and it was another cool spot. I think it was about 3.5-4 miles one way. It's much flatter, and the falls there were really, really pretty. So a couple places we've checked out, and we went to Denali. Man, we found like places to stay and different that were like half off because none of the tourists are coming. So would really recommend even, go into some places that everything's at a discount this year because they just need customers. So go explore. Was I cutting out again?
So what happens at Lost Lake when you are, after you get out of the woods? I kind of missed the first part of it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the internet's been choppy. Once 5 miles in the woods, but then the 2.5 miles, you're hiking up along the ridge, and it's just gorgeous. You can see mountains on either side of you. There's these little lakes just all along the way, and then Lost Lake itself is awesome. There's all these little peninsulas that jut out into it. It's this huge lake in the middle of the mountain valley. It is one of the prettiest places I've ever been to. Yeah. Yeah, recommend.
Is that kid-friendly? Got to get
it. It is. Oh, we saw a family up there camping. It's actually not a very steep hike. It's just long. It was about 7.5 miles to the lake. So that's a 15-mile round trip. That's a long one.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm allergic to exercise.
I
start to break out in sweat. My face gets red. I breathe heavy, I like that clothes, but they're really nice to binge watch things in.
There you go. Yeah. You just watch Planet Earth and just enjoy nature from...
Thanks to Nike, I think I'll finish this Planet Earth marathon.
There you go. Yeah. Well, fellas, as always, it's a joy and a privilege to know you guys and to talk about our Lord together. So appreciate the time and appreciate each one of you.
Yeah, thank you guys. I do appreciate it too, myself. Yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah, same here.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see if we can get live in the same space next time with some fancy new podcast equipment.
Yeah.
Toodaloo.